Welcome back. You're here with David Faisal. You're on More Than Money in QR Calgary. We've been joined by Miles Iblock, who's the chief investment strategist of Dynamic Funds. And Miles did a pretty good job of sort of giving us the shocks and the surprises that we saw in 2022 and a bit of an idea about asset allocation and positioning going forward in 2023. Now, I suspect, and Miles, I'll put this question to you in a minute, that this might be the tale of two different periods of this year.
Yeah.
We might have a first half of 2023 story and maybe a second half of 2023 story, and that might demand that we remain active as portfolio managers. But Miles, here's my question to you to begin with. You know, you mentioned at the beginning of this, at the last segment, a little bit about the stock and bond positioning. We have had this pretty aggressive run-up in equity markets and a pretty good response in bond markets. Tell me a little bit, just give me your thoughts on how this year has started and where you see that, you know, this may be going.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a great start to 2023. Equity markets are up pretty much across the board and bond markets have been rallying. So, you know, it's sort of like the everything sell-off was 2022 and the everything rally is beginning 2023. Now, you know, I don't suspect the pace or the trajectory that the market is on is sustainable. But I do think that, you know, for now, I think it's going to be choppy. It's going to remain choppy in the equity market. And then as the economic indicators start to bottom, the leading economic indicators of the business cycle start to bottom perhaps later this year, I think you're going to have a better tone to the market. But, you know, choppy, hopefully we keep going higher. I don't mind equity markets moving up. They've been moving nothing but down for a long time. So, but like I said, I am a little concerned that that people may be surprised by the negative sort of growth that's coming down the pipe. So, you know, I don't think you get over your skis here, but I use this analogy, you know, as an investor, not as this as a forecaster. You know, when we go to, say, Walmart or something and we see something's on sale for 20% off, we seem to get a little excited about purchasing that good and think we got a deal. And, you know, the global equity markets are kind of like that. They're on sale. So, you know, the times that it feels riskiest to buy equities or own equities is probably the time you should be buying your own or owning equities, because, you know, effectively, when after a big fall, the risk is sort of wrung out of the system, at least a little bit. So, you know, I think that you should be getting your shopping list in order, and you should be, as we have been doing, adding to equity exposure, at least incrementally here as we go forward.
Miles, when you look at the areas of opportunity, I think there's, like you said, there's a whole bunch of sectors or even, let's call it, different parts of the market that have a big discount. They're on a Walmart sale, let's say that. We look at technology, how much it fell last year. When you look at small, medium-sized corporations, primarily in the US and maybe even globally, they've taken a bit of a hit there from last year versus the larger cap, where there's so much attention happening to, let's call it, the S&P 500, and they're missing out, I believe, in certain areas. Where do you see the areas of opportunity? Is areas like tech or healthcare or even, let's go to small, medium-sized corporations as we get through this economic challenge that we're in, are there areas of opportunity there?
Well, maybe I'll start off by saying that I don't, where I think people should not be going. And if you recall, we have to go back, you know, 12 to 18 months, and everyone was very excited about many of the story driven stocks. What do I mean by that? You know, a lot of story, little in the way of fundamentals. So these are the newly issued IPOs, the SPACs, many of the non-earning, let's call them non-earning or unprofitable technology companies. And these just were up on a stick. And that stick has been broken now. And I think that's what higher costs of capital do to these story-driven narratives. So where I would be focusing is on, you know, like I said earlier, the sort of the quality companies. I think when interest rates rise above 0%, I think the fundamentals become more important than the stories. Because, you know, higher interest rates impose discipline on investing. And so, you know, look, I think there's many areas of the market that are looking more attractive. In the first part of this year, though, until We see the growth outlook, and you know, we want to see it bottom, but we're, let's call it, in the more defensive areas of the equity market. I don't know if you want to call them defensive or not, but sectors or groups that have more, let's call it, earnings visibility. So this would include some of the consumer staples names, healthcare names. You know, even when you go into the industrial sector, which tends to be a little more cyclical, aerospace and defense stocks are less cyclical. So I think, you know, at this stage, until we see the economic outlook begin to turn up, we have a little bit of, let's call it, a stable growth bias in the portfolio. And as the economic outlook starts to bottom, we'll be adding. Unquestionably, I'm thinking we'll be adding to the more cyclical areas or those with a little bit more operating leverage to the economic cycle, and that could include names in the industrials sort of sector.
Miles, I've been noticing anecdotally again with individual retail investors, they're chasing after returns. And let me paint the picture this way: you've got a poster up, an ad. And they're seeing that they're making certain rate of return. I'm going to make up some numbers here. Portfolio A, 10%. Portfolio B, 8%. That's all they're looking at. And they're starting to make questions and even possibly investing in the 10% rate of return portfolio. What I think a lot of people are failing to do is really understand that there's another question that needs to be asked, at least one. And that is, what's the risk you have to be willing to accept to get those kinds of rates of return going forward? When you look at that type of a retail investor, let's educate them here. What's the type of due diligence they need to do to understand the risk or volatility you need to accept in order to get those types of returns going forward?
Sure. I mean, that's a great question. And you know, I think that you know, when you're, first of all, you have to approach investing with let's call it a realistic lens. Equities are volatile. As an example, equities are volatile. If you want higher rates of return, you're going to have to go into higher volatility asset classes, generally speaking. And you know, we're all comfortable with the fact, you know, when we look in the rearview mirror, we're all comfortable with the 8, 10, 12% returns that you can derive from, say, exposure to an asset class like equities. But you know, when you're living that in real time, you have to be realistic again. When you're living that in real time, that 12%, you know, on a piece of paper, it looks like a straight line. But when you're living it real time, it's a roller coaster to get that 12%, right? And I think we have to be honest with ourselves that to say that if we want those types of returns, we're going to have to live through things like we saw last year in the equity market. So after you've sort of, I guess, assessed your tolerance for risk, you can say, you know, what is an appropriate portfolio for me? And again, 20% swings in equity markets that's not a rarity. I mean, it's part and parcel of the history of the equity market, where you get 20 plus percent declines. So I think you have to, like I said, have a realistic assessment of your tolerance for risk. And to get those higher returns, you're gonna have to assume more volatility in the portfolio. There's no way about it. You can't make something out of nothing. And like I said, to get those excess returns that people like on paper, it's often uncomfortable, to be honest. It's quite uncomfortable living through that.
I think you can't make something out of nothing. That's the best piece of advice that you can get for 2023.
Right.
Because I think there's gonna be a lot of shopping or chasing returns as we see the numbers coming in at the beginning of the year. Miles, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We've been joined by Miles Zyblock, Chief Investment Strategist for Dynamic Funds. Dave, we have a whole program in place to how to protect yourself through volatility, but still reach your retirement goals. Part of it is to make sure you understand the risk you're accepting when you invest. Part of it is also a proper structure and discipline, and we're going to have that on Tuesday, February 21st, 7 p.m. at the Carriage House Inn. You need to reserve your seats for this, so go to morethanmoneyradio.com to register.
On behalf of Faisal and myself, Dave, I want to thank you for joining us for another edition on More Than Money on QR Calgary. We'll talk to you next week.
David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli are portfolio managers and investment advisors with CIBC Woodgundy in Calgary. The views of David Popowich and Faisal Carmelli do not necessarily reflect those of CIBC World Markets Inc. Clients are advised to seek advice regarding their particular circumstances from their personal tax and legal advisors. If you are currently a CIBC Woodgundy client, please contact your investment advisor. CIBC Woodgundy is a division of CIBC World Markets Inc., a subsidiary of CIBC and a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada.